following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this March 12th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a gorgeous day here in the Auburn Opelika area. A little chilly for some, but not for this guy, man. It's a gorgeous day. Weather has moved out. Sun is shining. And a victory Thursday on the show today as Auburn survives yesterday in the SEC tournament. Auburn basketball taking down Mississippi State, holding off Mississippi State, I think is the better way to describe it. And they will be playing in the next, 15 minutes, 25 minutes? They're not tipping off until 2:25. My goodness, Auburn and Tennessee in the SEC tournament. So today's show will be very similar to yesterday's show, where a lot of live reactions, a lot of raw reactions to what is happening in Nashville when Auburn and Tennessee do battle in the second round of the SEC tournament coming up in about 20 minutes or so. A couple of great guests will recap everything from yesterday as well. Happy Thursday, Christian.
Happy Thursday. Yeah, happy Victory Thursday.
Victory Thursday.
Who has two thumbs and is going to let you know that he loves the cold weather?
This guy. This guy.
Oh, man, it does. I wore a hoodie today all day, and my goodness. I mean, hoodie and shorts, like it is fantastic out there today. It is a little windy. We were at one of the stoplights on East University for a little bit and had to wait for the light to come back down to see if it was green or not.
Nice.
And it was like, okay, now you understand why Florida has them sideways, so that way they hang on by two clips rather than just one of the clips.
Oh, well, I didn't know that, but the more you know.
The more you know, yeah.
I did not know that.
Because literally we all sat there and waited because it was about sideways and you couldn't tell if it was green or not. And finally,
just floor it and go. Just go. It'll be fine.
Just
it'll
go and out. Hope. I mean, that's what everybody else does in the town, right? I mean, just start driving.
Literally. Just go and don't worry about anybody else. Just worry about you and it will be okay.
That's everybody else might not be, but you'll be fine.
You will be fine, yeah. Did you cause an 8-car pileup behind you? Probably, but yeah, as long as you got to where you're going, it's all that matters.
It's all that matters. All that matters. No, we are talking Auburn and Mississippi State and how, my goodness, a game of runs it was. And Auburn answered Mississippi State's run. One of the few times that you feel like you can confidently say that the way that Auburn responded right after we went on air, really, and the run to end the first half, the run in the middle, or the early parts, rather, of the second half, and then the run to close things out. It was really satisfying to see from this Auburn squad. We'll talk about what they need to do against Tennessee here this afternoon as we have news that Nate Ament will play for the Volunteers. He was listed, I guess, as questionable, as now every team has to announce their overall injury report, and he's missed the last couple of games, I believe since February 28th against Alabama. He has been out. So they don't know what he is going to look like. You don't know the minutes that he is going to play, but he will be suited up and ready to play for Tennessee, and by that means I would be fully expecting that he will be playing a lot this afternoon. We're also going to dive into some more conference tournament conversations as, my goodness, teams in the bubble just don't really want to win for some reason. It's just like, the postseason's there, and like that's cool and all, but why would you want to do that when you could just not play any more basketball? You feel like that's basically the conversation that has with a whole lot of bubble teams. So we'll dive into all of that here in just a little bit. We also have Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. And then, as we mentioned it from yesterday, a whole lot of live reactions of Auburn and Tennessee here coming up shortly.
Yeah, we'll also have Chris Gordy on today as we normally do. Going to bump him up a little bit. He is helping us out and doing us a solid. We're going to talk to him at 3:05 rather than 3:30 just because Auburn will be deep in the second half of their game against Tennessee. So we didn't want to take anything away from that, and so Chris is going to join us at 3:05, and like you mentioned, Brad Law at 2:30, boots on the ground in Missouri as he gets ready to call Auburn baseball against Missouri this weekend in the SEC opener. So before and after our two guests, phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. Had some fiery calls yesterday, some hot texts yesterday as well. Thoughts on Auburn beating Mississippi State and having another chance today against Tennessee. Phone lines are open right now. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Your thoughts on Auburn basketball, beating Mississippi State, playing Tennessee. Do the Tigers have a chance? Can they win today and possibly punch their ticket to the NCAA tournament? You can give us a call or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box. That number is 334-784-1067.
And things have gotten a little bit more interesting, which we will dive into as the show goes on. Yesterday, because of all the bubble teams losing, Joe Lunardi mentioned Auburn, saying that they might not even have to beat Tennessee today to slide into the tournament just because all of the bubble teams have lost. But there's another team that's lost, and now there is going to officially be a bid stealer in the MAC as Miami of Ohio's perfect season comes to a close. UMass beats the Redhawks of Miami of Ohio, and so because of that, the MAC champion will get an automatic bid. And now it's up to the conversation of the committee of whether or not Miami will be in the conversation, or I guess if it comes down to it, like what you were talking about, you don't really ever see it, but it's the conference approval, right? So they could still select Miami of Ohio if the other team. I don't think that they would ever do that, especially in the conversation of two teams for their conference getting in. But I guess that is still somewhat of a possibility. And now, yeah, this is the main conversation right now, is Miami of Ohio and Auburn look to be kind of competing for those final two, if not that final spot in the tournament.
And look, there's a lot of people that were having this debate down the stretch of the regular season. If Miami lost a game at all, Miami of Ohio, if they lost a game at all, should they be in? And nobody really talked about it. And I mentioned it. I want to make it clear. I mentioned it that Miami was not the favorite to win their conference tournament. They were the second betting favorite to win, and they lost today. There's a lot of people that believed if they lost a game at any point because of how weak their resume is and how weak their schedule is, they should not be in the NCAA tournament. I, for one, in this particular situation, don't think, based off the past, think they should be punished for this.
If you get punished for a conference tournament loss, a postseason loss, if I'm Miami of Ohio, I'm pretty upset.
Because the argument is what we've always talked about.
If they didn't play in that tournament,
they're in.
They're in.
Exactly. That's a horrible precedent to set if you're the NCAA tournament committee to the mid-majors, because I'm not sure what the revenue is for a mid-major conference like the MAC on their tournament. They make money or else they wouldn't do it, right?
Right.
We don't do it to crown champions. We do it to make money. It doesn't make anything like the SEC tournament does, obviously. But if this situation plays out to where Miami of Ohio does not get in because they lost and only the conference tournament champion gets in, whoever that ends up being, mid-major conference tournaments will be eliminated by Monday.
Yeah.
They will never be played again.
There will be a public announcement from about everybody that can say so at Miami of Ohio.
And you know what? I wouldn't be a huge hater of it, because I still believe, and I think you agree, the automatic bid for any conference, because the SEC gets an automatic bid too, every conference gets it, they've all come up with this idea that it should belong to the conference tournament winner rather than the regular season champion, which might be the dumbest thing we have in sports.
Yeah, the fact that you eliminate the entire body of work and it more so come down to, okay, which team can play two better games or three better games all in a weekend?
Right. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me because...
Almost sounds like our high school.
Yeah, God, you're right about that. You're so right about that.
Well, the regular season just makes seeding.
It just doesn't matter. But are we really going to sit here and have a debate on who the better basketball team is throughout the entire season? UMass at 17-15 or Miami of Ohio at 31-1? Like, there is no debate.
Yeah.
Miami is the better team start to finish. Were they the better team today? No, they weren't. That's why they lost. But it's stupid to say, hey, UMass, you get a spot over this team because you were better for 40 minutes. Miami beat UMass both times in the regular season. They just couldn't beat them on this day. And so if that were to play out this way, again, I don't think it will. I think both teams will get in. I personally think that. But that could be the kickstart, if you will, to eliminate conference basketball tournaments for at least the mid-major level.
Yeah, very much
so. If Miami gets screwed out of this. So I don't know.
If you're the tournament committee, you have one problem, and you can make one big solution by putting all of this to bed. For about 3 weeks, there's been conversations of whether or not Miami of Ohio would beat Auburn. Put them in Dayton.
Put them in Dayton.
Let them play.
Play them at UD Arena.
Let them play.
I mean, there's a chance. There's a chance.
In a bubble that's as weak as this one is, where you are feeling like you have to find teams to put into the bubble, just let it happen.
But Miami as a 16 seed just seems so... Or I guess would they be
an 11
seed?
They're still, they were an 11 seed beforehand. They just weren't one of the play-in 11s.
So Auburn and Miami would both be the play-in 11 seeds?
Yeah, make that one of the two play-in games.
Yeah, because I guess Auburn would be the 16 seed. That was stupid. Yeah, that
makes sense. Give people what they want. Settle this conversation. If you want publicity and you want money and you want people tuned in to the very first game, the very first round of the NCAA tournament.
On that Tuesday or Wednesday?
Everybody be watching it.
I mean, I think there's a scenario for that to happen now.
And then you allow Bruce Pearl to have his face on one side of the screen and Miami of Ohio's athletic director on the other. And then you just let him go.
I hadn't thought about that until you said it. And there's a very, who is that? He is yoked. Who is that?
That's Bradshaw. Yeah.
It is Bradshaw.
Yeah, that man's on the call
I didn't
today
recognize
wearing a little...
him.
Smedium hoodie.
A small. There ain't a smedium about it. My goodness. You throw that sucker in the dryer before? God. Yeah, it's like he's wearing a Spider-Man costume, man. That thing's just sucked to his skin. That's a good point.
If you were out there on the court, they'd be doing the Spider-Man meme where that you'd look the exact same. You're doing the points.
I do look just like that.
Yeah.
Hair and everything, actually. Forehead and everything. Yeah, look just like it. So, again, we're talking the bubble right now because Auburn has somehow found their way back, maybe, in the NCAA tournament.
They were in it as of yesterday, and now with the Miami of Ohio loss, they're listed as the first team out.
And now Joe Lunardi is saying, as we are 12 minutes away from tip-off between Auburn and Tennessee, which we will talk about in just a moment, he's saying now you have to win that game to get in. What a disaster this has been. Because going into today, because of teams like Indiana last night who couldn't win on the bubble, Auburn was just magically back in. Because all the teams that were in a must-win scenario, Auburn was the only one that did.
So much so to where Auburn could have been listed not even as the very last team in. They could have jumped another spot.
But because Miami of Ohio took a loss, which again, I don't know. It doesn't seem right that that's how this is playing out, but it makes sense when we break it down like we just did. So, look, if you're Auburn, nothing has changed.
No.
Going into the SEC tournament, there was not a soul that said, beat Mississippi State and you're in. That was never the case. It was always, you're going to have to win multiple games. You're going to have to beat Tennessee, maybe even beat Vanderbilt if things keep going squirrely like they are, right? So, for Auburn, the mindset has not changed. The goal has not changed. You have to beat Tennessee today. If you want to feel comfortable-ish on Sunday, which is terrible, but that's comfortable-ish. That's the best I can come up with. You got to beat Tennessee starting in 11 minutes. You got to do it.
Tennessee, a 5.5-point favorite in Bridgestone Arena here coming up. I would have thought it would have been a little bit more, to be completely honest.
Especially with a Mint playing.
Yeah, 5.5 points in favor of the Volunteers, who are beginning to show that Tennessee orange. It's still dominated by Big Blue Nation that just finished up their contest. But you would imagine that those two very friendly fan bases with one another will happily cheer for the other team. I'm sure it will be a relatively hostile crowd for the Auburn Tigers, but based off of how they've performed and wanted to perform all season long, and based off of the comments that a bunch of the players made post-game, maybe it's exactly what you want.
Yeah, Eric and Auburn liked our Spider-Man costume joke. He also said that the hoodie was applied with a paint roller. I've never heard that. That's pretty good. That's skin tight, buddy.
It's almost, what's the, oh gosh, sous vide? Is that the restaurant term where they...
sous vide when they...
They take all the air out of the bag and they...
It's where you basically you pressure cook a piece of chicken in a,
but don't
in
you
a
like
bag of water.
Suction all of the oxygen out of it?
Or I don't know.
Or they even just do that with like the freezer things?
Just a vacuum sealed. Yeah. Or like the, you know, people pack their suitcases like that nowadays with their pillows and stuff.
So you put on a regular hoodie and then just...
Just you know, vacuumed out all the air out of there. Yeah. He asked what we're looking for in this game today for Auburn and Tennessee. We'll talk about that in just a moment when we come back. He also says he wants to push back a little bit and says we do this in football, right? Play and lose in a conference championship, maybe you don't make the playoffs. Florida State goes undefeated but doesn't get a playoff spot, etc. He's exactly right, and we mentioned that yesterday too. The comparisons are eerily similar to the college football playoff and the NCAA tournament. You're obviously talking about 68 teams that make basketball versus, what is it now, 12 that make football. But
for now.
Yeah, for now. Don't worry, football will get there soon. And then basketball will say, we'll one-up you. How about we're going to let 128 teams in? And that, dude, anti-expansionists are on one right now because they're looking at the bubble right now for the NCAA tournament and how weak it is.
Yeah.
And they're saying this is why expansion is a bad idea.
Well, we talked about that a little bit on Monday, and Jack and I had a big conversation on that Friday when you were making your way back in town of just, for those, and I feel like I fall into that category of a year like this should perfectly explain why having 84 teams
would be horrible.
Is not the right answer.
No.
Instead, this could almost be one of those years of, holy cow, we could almost eliminate a round, and you feel like it would still be okay.
Yeah.
If you're wanting to put the best product, which that's never the idea of this, but putting the best product on the floor to where it's going to be a tournament where every single person that watches college basketball is locked in for the entire what would then be 3 weeks slate.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm an anti-expansionist and everything. I've been that way. That's where I planted my flag, and I'll die on that hill until somebody
Baker
proves
Mayfield
me otherwise.
Style.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite moments ever. Loved it. Ohio people just hated it, and I couldn't get enough of it. Auburn, Tennessee, tip-off in 7 minutes in Nashville. The Tigers and the Vols, Auburn and Tennessee. We'll talk about that game when we come back, what we're looking for, and how Auburn can keep its season alive again. We do that right after this here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
This is Amber from Amber and Ian. You're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
You are On the Line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on ESPN 106.7. Auburn and Tennessee tipping off in 4 minutes in Nashville. The Tigers and the Vols, both teams seem to be at full strength. Nate Amint was confirmed today. He will be active. He will be playing. I really can't figure out why Tennessee wants to play him other than just competitive nature, I guess. But Auburn, after beating Mississippi State yesterday, they've got another chance. And again, everything seems to come down to this game for Auburn. If they want to be in the big dance, in the big tournament next week, and hear their name called on Selection Sunday, this is the game that they have to win. So, Christian, we got a couple of minutes before it tips off. What are you looking for? What does Auburn need to do? Anything that they can build on from yesterday? Anything they can learn from game one against Tennessee when they went to Knoxville and had pretty much every chance in the world to come back and win and couldn't do it? What are you looking for? What do you got?
First thing, I'm looking to see if Auburn can match the physicality of Tennessee. They're going to bring a physical style, a physical brand of basketball, which we know. And that was the very similar game plan that you just heard Otega Owe and Denzel Aberdeen talk about with Missouri. Of, we know what they're going to bring on their side of physicality. We have to match it and then still find ourselves being the most physical team on the floor. And so look for Auburn to try and match that physicality. I also want to see Auburn not settle from behind the three-point line. They didn't do it yesterday, especially when you have Kevin Overton go nuclear the way that he did, and you wouldn't complain if you got that again, but you can't expect a guy like that to have an on night every single time you touch the floor. And so making it to where it doesn't feel like you're in Knoxville, right? We've talked about that so many times. Of, it feels like it takes until the under 16 timeout for it to realize that, oh, Auburn is playing on the floor right now. And so find a way to match the physicality, especially on the rebounding side of things. Do not get dominated. Tennessee is one of those teams that I talk about a lot. Sometimes their best offense is getting the ball up at the rim because they're such a good offensive rebounding team and one of the best rebounding teams just by numbers in general. And so match the physicality, especially on that defensive rebounding side of things, and then find a way, get downhill, don't settle behind the three-point line.
How about the stat that if Auburn were to lose this game and still get in to the NCAA tournament, they would have the most losses ever of an at-large team in the NCAA tournament at 16. Nobody has made the tournament with an at-large bid, meaning did not win its conference tournament. No team has made the tournament with more than 15 losses. Auburn could be in that category if they lose this game right now and still hear their name called on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. And look, we'll talk about the NIT or the tournament or whatever scenarios on Monday when we know if Auburn is in or out, but you've got 40 minutes to control a lot of that. And look, I hate the idea that Auburn could win this game and still be left out, but at this point, it's in your hands. You have an opportunity to give them a reason to put you in. Don't give them a reason to leave you out. Losing this game, like every other bubble team in the last two or three days, they've lost, giving the committee a reason to leave you out. I look for Auburn to do a lot of what they did yesterday, which is, well, maybe not a lot of what they did yesterday, but in the good times yesterday, they moved the basketball. They didn't push faster than what they're comfortable. They think they can run, but they can't. And Auburn has to take quality shots. You've got to compete in the rebounding category. I can't remember what the official, and I should have looked, what the official number was the first time these two teams met and the rebounding number. I want to say, am I crazy in saying that it wasn't overly insane? Like Auburn kind of competed on the boards. It just didn't feel like it.
It was one of those stats that felt like it was lying.
Misleading. Yeah. Auburn cannot give up offensive rebounds like it did yesterday.
Never mind. It was 46-30.
Oh, never mind. Wrong game. Auburn got dominated. You can't do that today. You cannot do that today.
Yeah. Tennessee had 17 offensive rebounds.
Yeah. And Auburn and Tennessee are underway in Nashville. Again, we're going to talk about
ball,
it.
Three to start?
No, he hit the right side of the backboard. Kevin Overton did.
Okay.
Yep. Straight away. Free throw line jumper and missed the
rim
completely.
Okay, it wasn't a three then.
No, it was a two. Oh, nice. There he is.
Fall asleep, and there's the guy. Welcome back, Mr.
Welcome
Native
back,
there's
Mr.
There's the easiest point you'll have all afternoon.
Are those cream jerseys for Tennessee?
Like they are.
Those are clean. Cream with the orange down the side and the Vols across the chest. That's so clean. Auburn in the navy with orange down the side. Oh,
I genuinely don't think there could have been a worse shot on that possession.
Auburn's going to lose by 20.
There, I mean.
Oh, Hod.
That's Elijah
Auburn.
Who got the start.
It is Elijah. How about that? Both got headbands on today. I love it. Keyshawn Murphy, man, can he have a big game today? Like he started out hot yesterday, goes up strong. Yes, sir. Keyshawn Murphy, can he start strong today and stay out of foul trouble today? That'll be a big one.
As long as you don't get your technical foul, you're fine.
Yeah. Don't get two fouls in 90 seconds, and you're probably going to survive this.
Yeah. You're already, I mean, you're halfway there.
Yeah. So, again, Auburn-Tennessee underway. We'll keep you updated. Hopefully you're able to watch it or listen to that and us at the same time. We had fun with it yesterday, an unconditional, untraditional, whatever word you want to use, type of show.
Native meant three.
Oh, God. That's why he's playing, because he gives them the best chance to win.
Because he's their scorer.
He's it. But again, is Tennessee really going to move up a seed line by making a run in the SEC tournament? They are a 5 seed right now. Do we think that they can debunk Kansas as a 4, Texas Tech as a 4, Purdue as a 4, or Virginia as a 4?
Unless they win the whole thing, no.
And what confidence? And here's another question. What benefit do you have as a team like Tennessee to go play 4 games in 4 days and then turn around and play again on most likely Friday, Thursday, yeah, or Friday in the NCAA tournament, whatever draw you get? What benefit does that give you other than just making you exhausted?
Especially for a guy who's missed the last 3 games because of a knee and ankle injury.
Yeah, and that's for Ament himself. And I was talking more on the team perspective.
Right, but I mean, yeah, that's not even an Auburn versus Tennessee perspective. Just if I'm putting myself as a coach, Freeman almost just gets another steal. Instead, it turns into a baseline fadeaway.
Awesome. Keyshawn Murphy was slow to get up. Why? Was he looking for help to get off the floor?
Either that or they were looking at possibly something,
I don't know,
underneath the rim.
I think he was okay. I think he was just waiting for a teammate to get him up. But, well, underway in Nashville. Tennessee 7, Auburn 2. We'll keep you updated and talk about this as we go. But we'll take a break. We're joined by Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. We had a chance to sit down with him earlier today, so we won't talk the Tennessee game in specific, but what happens if Auburn wins this thing, and also talk a lot of Auburn baseball as he is in Missouri getting ready for Auburn and Missouri in the SEC opener for the Tigers. Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network joins us next.
Minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins, and we get the guy on the phone lines who we talk to every Thursday at 2:30. He is Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. And he's not in Auburn. He is somewhere in St. Louis, either on the river, at a restaurant, under the arch. You really never know where Brad Law is, but he is in St. Louis today as he will be on the call this weekend for Auburn baseball in Como. Brad, we appreciate you taking the time and getting some sightseeing in today, huh?
Yeah, that's it. I took my son with me on this trip, Jacob, and so we are literally standing under, well, we were just a few seconds ago standing under the arch, and we're actually now kind of walking alongside the Mississippi River. So kind of getting that in before we move on over to Columbia a couple hours away, get ready for baseball this weekend.
Yeah, well, how far is the drive from St. Louis to Columbia?
About 2 hours.
Okay.
About 2 hours, so not terrible. There is an airport. You can fly directly into Columbia, but we didn't go that route this time, so we get a little extra in.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to talk with us before a big series this weekend for Auburn baseball, opening up SEC play. Of course, we'll get into that here in just a little bit, plus Auburn run ruling UAB on Tuesday. But I want to talk basketball. Obviously, Auburn still playing and currently playing in the SEC tournament. And with a win yesterday over Mississippi State, it's the game that everybody felt like Auburn had to have, right, Brad? It was the one that you felt like you could not afford to lose. Auburn got it done. Mississippi State, of course, made it interesting, but the Tigers get it done. What'd you see from game one in Nashville yesterday?
I saw a different defense. I saw the best defensive performance in an SEC game this year, holding State 61 points. I think that beat the previous scoring output by 6 points in a conference game. And I even saw the way they coached it was different. At one point, there was a blown defensive assignment that led to a drive-by layup. And then the next time down, I think Auburn even got a 3. So they were plus 1 on the up and down the floor. But Coach, Stephen called the timeout and laid into the guys because it was a defensive lapse. And I just thought the last, 22 minutes of the game, but especially the last 14 or 15, I mean, that looked like Auburn defense. That looked like the way you play defense at Auburn. And so, yeah, it was good to see them play hungry in a game that they had to play hungry in order to, keep hope alive for a tournament berth.
Yeah, well, we talked so much yesterday about the game and the mentality that you had to take in a game like that, because so many people and all the bracketologists right out there said, you're not going to get any credit for winning this game, but you have to win this game to give yourself a chance to play in a game that you could get credit for. And I never played that high level of sports, Brad. I don't know how you get ready for a moment like that in an opportunity and a matchup where you know going in you have to win it, but you know there's more basketball to be played. I don't know how you get ready for something like that.
Well, I mean, the goal, I think the ideal situation would be to get ready the same way every game. But we didn't see them, execute that way for about the last 3 weeks of the regular season. So, ideally you practice the same way, you prepare the same way, you're intense, you're no less intense because it's the middle of February than you are because it's the middle of March. But that's not what happened. It was good to see it happen yesterday, and now these guys know, again, we know what Tennessee does well, and we know what Auburn has to do well to keep on playing.
Yeah, Auburn and Tennessee playing right now in Nashville. Again, Auburn looking for that last signature win, trying to secure a spot in the NCAA tournament. And we knew coming into this tournament, Brad, that Auburn, to make any sort of a run, would have to go up against three teams in a row that they lost to in the regular season: Mississippi State, Tennessee, and then Vanderbilt. You got it done against Mississippi State, again, a team that you got beat by the first time. Does that give you any confidence, or maybe this team a little confidence, going into the Tennessee game here today with Tennessee at full strength? Nate Amint is playing, right? Does that give you any confidence as you took down a team you lost to the first time, trying to do it again today?
Yeah, not because it's a team that beat you the first time and you sort of avenge that, but just, again, because of the way they played. Both the Tennessee and, if you want to talk about Vanderbilt, the team they would play tomorrow if they were to win today, both of those teams kind of came out, punched Auburn in the mouth first. They were more physical right from the start. And the way Auburn finished the game yesterday, being the aggressor, being the more physical team, gives me a lot of confidence that they could do that again, whether it's against Tennessee or Vanderbilt or whoever else. When you find your formula and you play with that formula, then it gives you confidence that you could come out and play with that formula again the next time out.
We got Brad Law for the Auburn Sports Network with us here on ESPN 106.7. He is in Missouri getting ready for Auburn baseball, opening up with Missouri and SEC play. More on that in just a moment. And no matter how the game that's going on right now, no matter how it ends up, Brad, if you were on the selection committee, we're going to ask to take off our Auburn glasses for just a moment.
Yeah.
Looking at this Auburn team, given how they finished the regular season but got a win in the tournament yesterday in Nashville, plus everything happening around them on the bubble as well,
yeah,
is Auburn a tournament team in your eyes, given everything that's happened over the last several weeks?
Yes, and I don't really hesitate on that, and it's mainly because of, it's just as much because of what the other bubble teams haven't done as much as it is what Auburn has done. I mean, if I'm on the selection committee, my job is not to look at Auburn's schedule in a vacuum and say yes or no. My job is to say, let me get the 68-team field. Let me get the number of at-larges that need to be chosen, and let me fill those correctly. So I'm going to put Auburn's resume against SMU and VCU and maybe Texas and Indiana. And I'm going to look at some of these in Santa Clara. And I'm going to try to pick a X, Y, Z number of teams out of that larger pool of teams. And the strength of schedule, the quality of wins that they have, I think they've done enough. So it would be great to take the decision out of question with a win today. But I think yesterday should be enough, paired with the other teams that lost down the stretch, and didn't win in their conference tournaments.
We'll see what happens with Auburn basketball. Again, the win yesterday against Mississippi State. Currently playing today against Tennessee. And with all the other bubble teams not performing at their best, maybe Auburn can find their way into the NCAA tournament. We've got Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network joining us here on ESPN 106.7, as he does every single Thursday at 2:30. And the reason you are not in Auburn, the reason you're out sightseeing and being a tourist today, is Auburn baseball is on the road taking on Missouri to start SEC play. Want to talk about that series in just a moment, but my goodness, how much fun was Tuesday night at Plainsman Park? 17-2, Auburn takes down UAB in a seven-inning run rule.
Yeah, like the sixth time in the last seven games they've scored in the first inning.
It's awesome.
And they've just jumped on these starting pitchers with regularity over the last 2 weeks. And then I think I also saw that it's been, what, four games in a row or five that they've given up fewer than two runs. Which is the longest streak in the country or in the SEC. I mean, just when you get a lead early and then you keep your thumb down on these teams with your pitching, that's dominant. And, you know, that's just the first time through the order, to say nothing of the second and third time through, or when you get into a bullpen early. Now that you're in conference play, you know, can you get into bullpens on Friday and see some guys for the second time on Sunday, maybe in rubber games of series? Really fun to watch this team execute with power and with precision and also with pitching Tuesday night against a good UAB team. That was a top 15 RPI UAB club that Auburn just battered Tuesday night.
A UAB team that beat Auburn both times last year, right? I mean, a game that we talk so much, Brad, in baseball, college baseball, of course, where the in-state midweeks, right, UAB, South Alabama, you've got Jack State coming up as well. Those teams take these games personally, and I feel like Auburn did the same thing on Tuesday.
Well, they did, and they, again, I think this goes back to, can you prepare the same way for every opponent? Can you take the same mentality into Tuesday that you take in a weekend? And can you not look ahead to the next thing in order to take care of the thing you have today? Butch Thompson, in our pregame visit Tuesday, said, you know, this is the only March 10th, 2026 you'll ever get. So have the best one you could possibly have, because it's the only one you get. And if you're looking ahead to a top five matchup against Georgia Tech next week, today is going to suffer. If you're looking ahead to SEC play on the weekend, today is going to suffer. Mm. And I really like that about this team. As young as they are, as many underclassmen as they have in key roles on this team, they have developed an ability over the first month of the season to be present where their feet are and what the challenge is in front of them on this particular day, which is why I feel really good about tomorrow and starting conference play in Columbia this weekend.
Auburn baseball 14-2 on the season, a seven-game win streak heading in to conference play, and they do take on the Missouri Tigers in Columbia. 6 o'clock first pitch on Friday, 4 o'clock Saturday, 11 a.m. on Sunday in the getaway game. Those games here locally on the radio for now are on Wings 94.3. If the basketball team continues to win, that'll move around. We could have a broadcast or two right here on ESPN 106.7, but we'll update you as things go along. But Brad, you've done your research, you've done your study, you've done your prep. What can you tell the folks at home who maybe have not flipped their brains to SEC play just yet? Can you tell them about the Missouri Tigers and what they'll put on the field this weekend?
Yeah, Missouri, shockingly, a good offensive team. Now, they haven't played a very tough schedule, but they're 14-2. They're fifth in the SEC in batting average with a .334 average. And they've had a ton of guys get hit by pitches. So their on-base percentage is .467.
Interesting.
I'm looking through stats right now. I think that's the second highest. It is the second highest in the SEC. To go with that, they have 31 stolen bases on the year. So, you know, defensively a little bit, they've struggled. And, again, the strength of schedule has been an issue, or may become an issue for them now that we get into conference play. But a team that will carry some offensive confidence into the weekend. We know it will be cold. We know it will be windy. We know the wind blows out at this ballpark, and they have been a really good hitting team so far this year.
Well, I think Auburn's been a really good hitting team this season, too. And Missouri can have confidence all they want offensively, but we now know, and it's no surprise on the three guys that they'll see to start the ball games this weekend. It'll be Marciano on Friday, Sanders on Saturday, and Petrovic on Sunday. That has been such a lockdown rotation. And for Auburn baseball to have figured that out so early, Brad, I mean, how much of a weapon is that to know that's been the rotation for the first month of the season, and you feel very confident starting with those guys in SEC play?
Yeah, Jacob, I think 6 weeks or so ago, you and I had the conversation about the beginning of baseball season, and I probably referenced, because I did this in a lot of places, the 22 year. And the last time Auburn went to the College World Series, that season, Trace Bright, Joseph Gonzalez, Mason Barnett, they were the three reliable weekend starters every time out. And you cannot overstate the importance of consistent productivity from your starting pitching. And they've even taken it up to another level this year with an insane strikeout to walk ratio. They're not giving up free base runners. They're second in ERA in the conference right now, with a sub 2.5 earned run average. So you're giving up on average of under 3 earned runs a game, under 2.5 earned runs a game. Meanwhile, Missouri is right at 4. So they're 15th in the league. So that's kind of one of the differentiators between these two teams. But yeah, Marciano, Sanders, the SEC pitcher of the week, and then Petrovic, have just been so reliable. It's allowed the coaches to look at other things, you know, defensive movements, bullpen pieces, and to do it with great confidence, because you kind of know what you're getting from the starters each time out.
Well, it should be a fun weekend in Columbia, Missouri, with Auburn baseball again Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If Auburn basketball does not pull it out today against Tennessee, all those baseball broadcasts here locally with Brad Law on the call will be on Wings 94.3. If basketball does win today, then we'll have some moving around, and again, we will update you as we go. Brad, one more thing before we let you get out of here. I think I've asked you this before, probably last season when we talked, but I want to get your thoughts on this again. With SEC play starting up, right, the conversations also start up about how many wins do you need? What's the goal? What's the standard or the line that you're trying to get to, the win total, if you will, because in the SEC, it's just so darn hard to win games all the time. Are you a subscriber to that line of thinking? Is there a number in mind, or do you just take it series by series? I feel like I know your answer.
I mean, I think the coaches would tell you series by series. I think this team has the ability. Now, look, they got a gauntlet. Look, they're taking on Arkansas, but they get them at home. They're playing Texas, but you get them at home. You got really good teams always in the SEC, but if you could take care of business at home, if you could take care of business at home every time out and get, you know, say 10 at home, and then even win 3 of your 5 road series, that gives you, what, 17 or 18? I think this team can get to 18 and 12 in the conference, which for those who don't follow closely, 18 and 12 puts you at home for a super regional again.
Yes.
In this league any year, and this year is no different. So that's what I would say going in. I would feel great about this team's ability to get 18, which would, again, mean really lofty things.
It starts this weekend for Auburn and SEC play on the baseball diamond against Missouri in Columbia. And Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network will have the call all weekend long. My man, we appreciate you taking the time. Again, enjoy the downtime today. Have a great series this weekend. Tell the folks what they need to know, again, with some things possibly moving around. Do the best you can and tell them what they need to know for your broadcast this weekend.
Yeah, if basketball is playing, basketball is on Wings 94.3. If basketball and baseball are both playing, basketball's on Wings. Baseball is on ESPN 106.7. If basketball is not playing and baseball is on Wings 94.3. Also, weather forecast for Columbia, not great for Sunday. A lot of rain in the forecast for Sunday, so don't be surprised if the Saturday schedule gets loaded up another weekend. It'd be like the third in 5 weekends this year. Just don't be shocked.
The term we use is, that's baseball, Brad. That's baseball.
Yep. No question. Yes, it is.
Awesome. Well, Brad, again, we appreciate you taking the time. Enjoy the day with your son. Have a great call this weekend, and always appreciate the time.
You got it, Jacob. Thank you. War Eagle.
This is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Hi, we are back here on ESPN 106.7. Couple of minutes left in hour number one. Update from Nashville. After all that,
chaotic.
Auburn leads by three. Here comes Tahad. It's a 1-on-3. Does he take it? Wow, he backed it out. Good job, Auburn. 18-15. Here's Hod, floater in the lane. Yes, sir. Got the touch today.
Man.
20-15. Auburn leaving Tennessee. 7:15 to play, counting down in the first half. Tahad Pettiford has 8 points.
Gillespie has 2 fouls. Force anybody other than Nate Ament going away from the basket to score and to beat you.
Challenge impossible.
Yeah, but I mean, if Gillespie is A, on the floor, attack him in every single way, which he is right now. Go at him defensively and go at Nate Ament defensively, mm-hmm. just because of still not being 100%. But if Gillespie is not on the floor, force anybody else to beat you going away from the basket with their back turned. And so far, they've done a nice job. But as you mentioned, after everything is all said and done, how bad is it that we're complaining with an Auburn lead? But it feels like you've played a very, very solid half. Yet it's a one-score game.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn not shooting the ball well at all. I think that's a positive. You got a 5-point lead at the under eight. You are 30% from the floor. 30% from the floor.
But the fact that you have allowed 15 points in 13 minutes.
Yeah, that's even bigger.
It's a big plus.
Yeah, it's a really big plus. So, again, we'll give the updates from Nashville as we go. Thanks to Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network for sitting down with me earlier this morning. He is in St. Louis. They're making the drive to Columbia. A great breakdown of the series this weekend. Supposed to have some weather moving through. The wind's going to be howling. So the Auburn bats that are already on fire, they might see their numbers jump up a little bit this weekend. And Como, the Missouri team, who is also 14-2, their schedule is not strong at all. So Auburn feels like they can go in, and man, how big would it be for Auburn baseball to start the SEC slate with a win, series win, a sweep at SEC play? It's never something you can ask for. You can get it and celebrate it, but a series win on the road to open up the season would be a huge accomplishment.
On the road, you hope for one. At home, you hope for two. Anything other than that is a big-time plus. If you can take the series on the road, that's already a game above what you're on average supposed to do. You take all three, you put yourself in a really good spot.
Yep, it'll be the rotation that we've had all season. I talked to Brad about it. It'll be Marciano, Sanders, and Petrovic Friday, Saturday, Sunday, unless weather changes things, but we'll keep you updated as we go. So, hour number one is in the books. Stick around. Hour number two, we start with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, moving him up a couple of minutes due to Auburn playing right now. We'll talk to him about what he has seen so far, his thoughts on the tournament, and opening weekend for SEC baseball. Chris Gordy joins us to start hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us here on ESPN. Was that Keyshawn?
No, that was
Hall?
That was who that? You know it was.
Oh, Mr. Hyde has come to play in Nashville, Tennessee. Auburn leading Tennessee 23-16. 5.5 to play in the first half. Second round of the SEC tournament. Make it 23-18 as Tennessee gets an easy drive-by layup from Amari Evans. God, man, Auburn defensively, other than that possession
it's
in the first
active.
2 minutes... More active than we've seen in quite some time by this Auburn team.
Give it to him again.
The energy.
Go to work.
Oh, he slipped. Oh, he wants the screen. Can Tahad get it? Turns the corner. Oh, pump fake. Three. Hyde. No. Oh,
that's a foul.
Tipped out
that's
off
our ball.
Of.
Hey, it's our ball. Ain't it? It's our ball.
I didn't know you knew Spanish. Hour number two is underway. Hour number two is underway. We appreciate you being with us here on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of the first hour, you could go back and catch it with the podcast version of the show a little bit after today's show at ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, or the Radio Alabama app. We will have that posted for you. In hour number one, we previewed this Auburn and Tennessee game, talked a little bit about Auburn and Mississippi State from yesterday. We also had Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network, who joins us every Thursday, talk to him about the Tennessee game in general, right, what happens if Auburn wins this game, what it means for the NCAA tournament and things like that. We also talked a ton of Auburn baseball with Brad as well, as he is in Como. He'll be on the call for Auburn and Missouri, the Tigers and the Tigers this weekend to open up SEC play for Auburn baseball. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, check it out on our station website at ESPNAU.com. And in hour number two, changing things up just a little bit, we always have our guy Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC with us. We're going to bump him up a little bit, so he's coming up in just a moment, and then we'll give you updates and live reactions from Nashville in a game that tipped off, about 30 minutes ago, 35 minutes ago, something like that. So it's 4:42 in the first half, Auburn 25, Tennessee 18. So again, we'll give you live reactions down the stretch as we did yesterday, and then the drive coming up after that, they'll be able to react to it as it goes final. But Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, we asked him if we could bump him up a little bit because of the game. He said, of course, we just had to pay him extra today, and that's okay. Our man Chris Gordy is with us on the phone lines now. Are you in Nashville, or are you hanging out and watching it like everybody else on TV?
We're actually in the car right now, but I've been watching on my phone, and the fighting Bruce Pearl or fighting Stephen Pearls want to get in the tourney. I love this. Let's get hot. Joe Lunardi keeps listing them as the last team in, and I think they'll be really funny on Sunday if they're the last team in.
Well, I mean, did anybody or you in particular expect what we're seeing from Auburn yesterday, beating Mississippi State, 7-point lead against Tennessee as we're flirting with the under four? I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening around Auburn on the bubble and in the NCAA tournament, but an inspired performance so far as Kevin Overton knocks down another one.
Yeah, I think, I thought they'd beat Mississippi State. As poorly as Auburn's played the last few weeks, Mississippi State's just got awful, so... I figured they beat them, but yeah, I mean, when I started, you know, kind of monitoring Tennessee the last couple of days on, you know, we knew Nate Amet was banged up, but they're like, we think he's going to play, but a few of the other guys kind of banged up too. And I'm like, all right. I mean, even if they play, they're not 100%. So maybe this works in Auburn's favor. So yeah, I've been pretty impressed with what they've been able to do so far. And a win today, I think Joe Lunardi said this morning, it still doesn't guarantee Auburn's in, but it certainly doesn't hurt them.
Yeah, and the Miami of Ohio game, them losing for the first time, they're going to steal a bid most likely, so that has not made it any easier on Auburn either, Chris, because now you're looking at that conference getting two teams in compared to one, so that doesn't help Auburn's chances at all.
But I almost wonder, I'm looking at Texas, who has played poorly the last couple of weeks too, and them being one and done in the SEC tournament, I almost wonder, can Auburn leapfrog them with a win today? You know, I think Lenardi still had Texas like one or two spots ahead of Auburn, but I don't know. I think a win today for Auburn may kind of even things out with Texas, and we'll see what they end up doing. Now, does Auburn get a benefit of the doubt because of the brand, you know, because they were Final Four team last year? Or does Sean Miller, you know, a longtime coach who's been in the tournament so many times, does he get the benefit of the doubt being at Texas? So, I don't know. We're going to see how this thing shakes out. But first things first, let's see if Auburn can get this win today.
Chris, how wild is it the fact that we are in day two of the SEC tournament, yet we're having legit conversations about the SEC tournament? You feel like over the past handful of years, the past 5 years or so, the conference tournament hasn't really meant anything. You don't get rewarded. You don't get punished. But just because of how weak the bubble is, then those just in front and those just behind it, to where now the SEC tournament, as well as some of these other conference tournaments, may actually matter.
I'm just more amazed how much love Joe Lenardi has given the SEC. I mean, guys, even as of this morning, you know, caveat, he still has Auburn as the last team in. He's got 11 SEC teams still in. And for weeks, people have been asking me, how many teams do you think the SEC gets in? I'm like, not 11. Like, it's a down year for the conference.
It's just the SEC bubble as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, and yet the bracketology continues to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I think what's helped here the last week is a lot of teams that were also in the bubble took losses too. And so I think that's played into the favor to help the SEC. So, you know, we'll see on Mizzou. I read this morning they said Mizzou, if they beat Kentucky, they would have that would have definitely punched their ticket in. But them losing to Kentucky, that Mizzou might be a team that's kind of considered on the bubble. And I think Lenardi this morning had them in the last four byes. So, at least it feels like Mizzou will get in, but Texas and Auburn, like I said, are those two teams kind of teetering here, and we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, again, it's just crazy because all year long we've said, yeah, SEC is decent, but it's not as good as it was last year. Well, seems like a lot of the numbers people tend to disagree with that.
Well, there's a lot of drama happening in Nashville at the SEC tournament. Of course, other tournaments around the country as well. We're talking to our guy, Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. A little bit earlier today than we normally do, of course, with the game going on. We want to have plenty of time to discuss that. We had somebody text us, Chris, in our show text box asking if LSU was going to make a change with Matt McMahon. He's been there since 2022. Not a whole lot happening. Are they going to make a coaching change here in the Southeastern Conference?
Well, I think what needs to happen first is NC State's season needs to end. What I've been told is a lot of the big money people at LSU, they've already been called on for a ton of money, from buying out Brian Kelly, which was a massive number, to going and stealing Lane Kiffin, which was a massive number, to buying the number one portal class, which was a massive number, that some of their big money people are kind of tapped out. And they're like, you know what, we're not paying a massive buyout for a basketball coach either. Because if you guys remember, when LSU hired Matt McMahon, that was in the aftermath of firing Will Wade.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, scholarship reductions, all these things coming in. They had to pay Matt McMahon a lot of money and a long-term contract to make it worth his while to come over from Murray State. So, you know, even though he's been there a couple of years, that buyout is still pretty massive. Now, the one caveat is a few of the big money people never wanted to get rid of Will Wade, right? They had to fire him a couple years ago because his voice was on the wiretap and all that. But everybody loved Will Wade. As an X's and O's coach, he was beloved. And then look at what he did last year with McNeese State, taking them to the NCAA tournament. He takes the NC State job in the offseason. Well, there was a lot of people at LSU that wanted to get rid of Matt McMahon last offseason, and Scott Woodward, the athletic director, didn't want to do it. That's partly why he's fired right now, and he, you know, he's unemployed. So, There is a contingent of folks at LSU that said, if we, you know, it's going to be one or the other. Either we're going to stick with Matt McMahon another year, or we're going to fire him and go get Will Wade from NC State. But I think we got to wait to see what NC State season, how it ends first.
Wow. I mean, we've been hearing rumblings of that, and a lot of people saying, yeah, jokingly, like, yeah, just go get Will Wade. It'll be fine. Just bring him back and act like nothing ever happened. But you're saying there's a legitimate possibility that it actually does happen.
Yeah, go back to October, guys. There was a contingent of people going, yeah, right, LSU's going to fire Brian Kelly and go get Lane Kiffin. You're wild streets. You know what I mean? It was a pipe dream, and it ended up happening. So I don't think it happens because you're going to have to pay. Remember, he's in his first year at NC State, so it's going to be a pretty good buyout to get him out of that deal.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is, guys, a few weeks ago, he was cruising red hot with NC State. They've lost a ton of games as of late, so maybe there might be some folks at NC State that go, you know what, if you want to leave, go ahead and leave.
We got our guy Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, joining us a little bit early here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. And Chris, wanted to flip over to the Diamond as Southeastern Conference baseball gets started in Southeastern Conference play. And my goodness, the amount of top 25 games, the amount of, I mean, you have a top five game this weekend with Mississippi State and Arkansas, that three game set. Your just overall generic thoughts so far as SEC baseball hits its conference play, maybe a couple teams you're looking out for, a couple of teams that may not have answered the call quite yet through non-con play.
Yeah, I mean, the one to me that's the most intriguing is LSU and Vanderbilt, two teams that have just kind of massively underachieved so far. LSU, I want to say, was preseason number two or number three in most polls. They're obviously the reigning champs, and they've lost some midweek games here. They've lost four of their last six or something crazy like that. So I get it. It's early season. It's non-conference. So none of that really matters. But even Vanderbilt has been very disappointing so far. So that's going to be a fascinating one in Nashville to see kind of who can come out and win two out of three there and position themselves well to start SEC play. But outside of that, I mean, it's some of these teams that have started well, like Oklahoma has looked good, but I'm kind of eyeing them, you know, giving them a side eye. Like, I don't know if you're any good. We're going to find that out. And the same thing with Missouri. Like, Missouri was supposed to be god-awful, and I get they haven't really played anybody yet, but what are they, like 15-2? I mean, they've started strong, so this is going to be a nice little test for Auburn to go on the road. And like I said, I loved Auburn's pitching so far. And, you know, if they can go pitch well and scratch across enough runs and go take two out of three in Como, that'll be a great start for Auburn. I don't want to put the dreaded they should go sweep this series on them, because it's hard to sweep any SEC team. But if Auburn starts taking two out of three against Mizzou, it'll be a good start to SEC play.
Yeah, there's just so much good baseball around the Southeastern Conference. And again, great series to start up this weekend. You look ahead, Auburn has Georgia Tech in the midweek next week. Texas comes to Plainsman Park. I mean, there's some big-time series. Auburn, Texas next week. Arkansas comes to Auburn this year. Tigers have to go to Bama. Believe we go to Gainesville as well. I mean, Auburn has one of the toughest schedules in the SEC for baseball, Chris.
Well, let me just tell you, Texas is the real deal, man. I mean, they're still undefeated. Their Friday night guy, Ruger Riojas, is as good as anybody in the country.
Yes.
And they host Ole Miss this weekend. Hunter Elliott has been good, not great, as their Friday night starter so far. So he's got a big test facing that lineup. And then their Saturday guy, Cade Townsend's been really good. This is going to be a big, big test for them going to Austin and having to play this Texas team that just looks like a team that has no flaws. I mean, top to bottom, 1-9, they can all hit. They've got power. They got dominant arms. I mean, Texas to me has been the most impressive team so far.
And Chris, before we let you go, spring practice has started for some SEC teams. I know Alabama got underway this week. Teams like Auburn and others will get going early next week as well. Any early notes or things coming out of the few teams who have started spring practice this week, or is it still kind of too early to tell?
Yeah, there was some significant news out of Alabama today. I forget the kid's name, but it's a redshirt freshman that they kind of had penciled in at the left tackle spot. And Ryan Grubb, talking with the media, somebody asked about the battle left tackle, and he was like, there is no battle left tackle. He is our starting left tackle. And I was like, whoa, that's a pretty bold statement to make the first few days of spring ball. So maybe it's just one of those things they're trying to get the kid's confidence up and give him the vote of confidence very early. But I was like, that's pretty surprising on an Alabama O-line that has really had to retool this offseason with a lot of pieces that have moved on. But I was reading the AL.com report on the quarterbacks, and it was like way too early to tell. I mean, it's Keelan Russell versus Austin Mack. They're both taking 50-50 reps so far. And again, I don't think that and out of Florida camp with Aaron Filo and Tremel Jones, I don't think we're going to get an answer on either of those squads on what the quarterback battle looks like until probably late summer.
And the only thing I know out of Florida is people were all fired up that Summerall canceled his anniversary spring break plans. I mean, wow, what a class act that he decided to not go to Italy and stay back and coach his football team.
Well, I will say, and this is the week where, I mean, go look at Lane Kiffin's Instagram. He's literally in the Bahamas with his nephew, just like sitting on the beach and the life. It is Summerall's 15th wedding anniversary, and he said he had promised it to his wife for a while, but it is the sign of the times. He said, we've got so much to figure out. We are so behind right now, and that's the real deal. When you're a new coach in a new school with so many new transfer portal additions, you need as much time as possible to figure it all out. So I give him a hat tip.
Update from Nashville, Chris, as we let you go. 32-25, Auburn leading Tennessee. Tahad Pettiford was about a rotation of the basketball away from banking one in from half court. He has 16 points. He's 3 for 5 from downtown. Wow. Auburn leads by 7 at the half there in Nashville, Chris.
Let's go. Look, I'm not going to say a thing. I don't want to get caught jinxing this, but let's go fighting Stephen Pearl.
Yeah, Chris, plug it all, my friend. We appreciate you adjusting, taking the time, as always, coming on with us early here on this Thursday afternoon. You're covering all this stuff, the tournament, baseball, and everything, spring practice, too. Tell people how they can find you.
Yeah, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcast. Good episode up today with our buddy Connor O'Gara, who spent so many years over there at Saturday Down South talking SEC quarterbacks with him, and some glowing comments from him about Byron Brown. You may want to check that out at Locked On SEC.
Chris, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you again next week. We'll talk full NCAA tournament next week and then the first weekend of SEC baseball as well.
All right, fellas. Talk to you then.
Thanks so much. Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts. We're looking at freshman Tahad Pettiford right now. We're looking at stone cold killer Tahad Pettiford right now.
One of those games
where
feel surprised and almost upset when he shoots it and it doesn't go in.
Yeah, and stupid enough, this may not be a fair assessment, but it's like if you're Tennessee, you're looking at this and it's like, man, we're only down by 7.
Yeah.
You give up 16 to Tahad Pettiford, Auburn in the first half. They end up, that shooting number ended up being halfway decent, 38%, which is not great, but compared to what it was.
Yeah, both teams traded buckets a couple of times. I know that, I believe Auburn was 8 of 20 at one point, and Tennessee was 7 of 20, and you finish 11 of 29 and 10 of 27. Auburn leading the rebounding number as well, 21 to 15. That's going to be a big thing that you're going to continue to look at. Turnovers, neither team has been too affected by them. Auburn has 5. Tennessee has 3. But when you're looking at it, Auburn's made 11 field goals, and Tahad has 5 of them. KO has 3. That is, what, 8 of 15?
Mm-hmm.
So the rest of the team is 3 of 14. They're kind of saying the same thing. Force somebody else to beat you.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, again, we appreciate Chris Gordy for joining us, our longtime Thursday guest. Normally at 3:30, Adam, come on today at 3:05, just so we have the rest of the show to kind of react to the first half of this, give you live updates in the second half as well. We'll continue doing so right after this here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7.
Hey, this is your resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Candy from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are On the Line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Halftime in Nashville. Auburn 32, Tennessee 25. Tigers lead by 7 at the half. Phone lines are open the rest of the show. If you want to be a part of it, tell us how you feel about this Auburn team right now. 334-321-1390 is the call-in number, or you could shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And one of our longtime out-of-state listeners texted us this like 30 minutes ago, and I'm just now seeing it because of us having a guest and things. He said, after the 10-point deficit yesterday against Mississippi State, says Auburn looks different. Why did this not happen 6 weeks ago?
So, I mean, it's what we talked about with, yeah, when it was, what, 33-23, Auburn went on a 7-0 run. Before the halftime break, went on a huge run early in the second half, and then went on a dynamic, dominating run to end the contest. I believe, I mean, it was 30-3, if you're something like that, if you combine those three runs that Auburn went on. And that and the final run, I feel like, is the most impressive, because that was right after we had just gotten done talking about it. Okay, Auburn's up 10. Or Auburn's up 12, here comes that 8-0, 9-0 run that you're fully expecting from Mississippi State. Happened a little bit earlier than we thought that it would happen, but you still got one of those runs. And Auburn able to respond, and not necessarily in a flurry, But slowing the game down, taking value of the basketball, really high quality possessions, and kind of just like a slow bleed, which you haven't seen so far this season, really, from this Auburn squad. They've taken that, and they've taken this first half a little bit personal. Again, they made a bunch of comments about that in the post-game press conferences yesterday about what Tennessee was doing after the win in Knoxville the first time, about the giggles and the laughter about the way that Auburn performed. And so a lot of these guys, and Tahad Pettiford was the key leader. He spoke up about it,
yep.
And my goodness. This isn't quite a road game for Tahad Pettiford, but based off it being a neutral site and there being more Tennessee fans naturally than Auburn fans right now in that building, it's basically road game Hod, and you've seen it through 20 minutes of play.
And you need it, man. You've got to keep your foot on the gas if you're Auburn in this game. Again, up by 7 at the half. You're out shooting Tennessee from the floor. You're out shooting Tennessee from the three-point line. You're out shooting Tennessee from the free throw line. You do have 2 more turnovers than they do. You've actually scored more off of their turnovers than they have scored off of yours. You're winning the rebounding battle. You're winning the second chance points. You're winning in every facet other than points in the paint. Right? You're winning this basketball game in a lot of the statistical categories, which is why you have a 7-point lead.
Tournament basketball is so interesting to me because you look at this game in the regular season and it's like, holy cow, we just watched two teams shoot 80 free throws in a football game. Would you believe me if I told you these teams shot a combined 10 free throws in the first half?
Yeah.
That's crazy to think about, but that's the difference in a regular season game and then what March is. And I think it is a little bit of officiating, yes, but I think these coaches understand the longevity of what these kids are having to do. You play more games more frequently. It's just so weird to think the mindset shift as soon as you hit mid-March of, okay, instead of this bully ball, we're going to have to go develop a little bit of finesse. And this is not even necessarily just from the Auburn perspective in this game, but these are the reasons of why people not trusting Tennessee.
Yeah. In March.
Right.
Yeah.
Just because of you shot 37%, you only made 3 free throws. And you're down by 7 to an Auburn team that's 17-15.
Bully ball doesn't work in March. There's a reason Rick Barnes has never been there with Tennessee. There's a reason he has fell short every single time at Tennessee. He's had some of the best players in the league the last 8 to 10 years, but they always fall short. And they're a team that I don't trust in the big tournament. They've won the SEC tournament, but I'm with you. I don't trust them long term. Before we go to break, and in the last 30 minutes, again, we'll kind of preview the second half and live react to it as it's going to tip off here in the next 5 or 6 minutes. Kentucky holds off against Missouri this morning. Missouri made it interesting. They held them off. I mean, I feel bad for any Kentucky fan, man. You better not even during a commercial break. Don't get up. Don't leave, because Kentucky will blow it or get back in it at some point if it's a 10 or 15 point game. They will always make it interesting.
It's incredible. Missouri took the lead 60-59. And then Kentucky went on a big-time run to go and ice it. And that goes to show you right there that it's the big men that get you to March. It's the guards that carry you through it.
Shows how much we know. Ole Miss upset Texas last night. How about that? I had Texas playing on Friday.
You had Texas beating Georgia, didn't you?
Yeah. So much for that. Oklahoma stays hot. They've got Texas A&M tonight. Ole Miss will play Georgia tonight as well. Kentucky, Florida, now set to kick things off tomorrow morning, or tomorrow at lunch there in Nashville. So, 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. 20 more minutes in Nashville. We talk about the second half right after this.
We're halfway through hour number 2. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Normally have Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC right now. We had him on about 30 minutes ago. We pushed him up. He was able to make that work. We appreciate him doing that. So now we have the last 30 minutes to preview the second half of Auburn-Tennessee and react to Auburn and Tennessee moments away from tip-off. And, Christian, what I just said as we were coming back to break, who can win the coaching battle right now?
Yeah.
There's 20 minutes left. Rick Barnes and Tennessee are down by 7. You know they're going in there to make adjustments. Auburn had a really good game plan. Auburn had a good strategy. Auburn executed in the first 20 minutes. Rick Barnes will make adjustments. Can Stephen Pearl do the same?
Biggest challenge that I have right now, and this is not an Auburn thing, it's more of just because you know that Tennessee has that kind of run in them. What does this look like at the under 16 here in the second half?
Yeah.
Is this a one
I think it is about
game?
This Auburn
is
team.
This a one-point game? Because I feel like, again, Tennessee is good enough to at least go on a couple of those spurts, or if Auburn has a couple of lapses. You've seen Nate Amendt knock down a three, if you allow him to. He's knocked down two of them, actually. He's 2 for 2, has the only two makes. Rather than, if you're Auburn, are you able to continue playing with the same type of intensity that you saw, the same type of high-quality shot selection to continue to hammer this down as Keyshawn Hall works his way, kicks it to the corner, almost threw it to nobody, but Freeman was there. I'd be perfectly – if you're Tahad Pettiford, I'm perfectly fine with you taking the rest of the shots every single
– yeah.
Or every single shot the rest of the game.
Oh, this would be a great start.
He got it, and he was fouled.
And one. Feed that man. Look at that smile, boy. He's so excited. He is feeling it.
And guess what?
Is that 4?
It's 3.
3 on Gillespie? I didn't know
I believe
if he picked
that's
up
who
one.
That was on. It was him that was holding his mouth, not really believing it.
Let me see.
It might have been on Boswell.
There's still only 2 on Gillespie.
Yeah, it was on Boswell.
Yep. Yeah, it is on Boswell.
That's cold
still,
right
though.
There.
Yeah.
We can't give true play-by-play, so we can't show off our true talent, but...
Talent?
We can't show off our part-time...
yeah.
...gigs.
Our... Not even ability. That's not the right word either. Our effort? Efforts?
Sure, yeah.
Sure, something like that. Auburn up by 10.
Again, that's a good response.
It's on this end of the floor. It's defensively for Auburn. That you cannot do. Just an open dribble drive through the lane, split the defense, finger roll finish at the bucket. You cannot let that happen. Man.
Tennessee will not beat you if you can stack the paint and force them to go away from the basket. I thought that was a really bad floater. It was a lob.
It was a lob to Keyshawn Murphy, and he got held trying to jump up for it.
But, I mean, that's the thing. With Nate Amendt, he might be the one player that's good enough on the post-up and can hit the couple of fadeaway shots on the elbow or on the baseline, but the rest of this team wants to get downhill. They feed off of being able to get downhill and offensive rebounds. So far, Auburn has done a really nice job on that side of things. Continue to keep the pedal down, man.
I'm trying to look it up, and I don't think there's anywhere you can find this. We talk about kill shots at basketball, right? It's a legitimate thing that somebody made up about teams going on runs where, on average, if you have a kill shot in a game, you win the game, right?
I think it's 2 8-0s.
Is it 2 8-0s or is it a... I thought it was
or it might
a,
be 1 12-0.
I thought it was a 10-0. I think it was a 10-0 run for a kill shot, I think. Something like that. And on average... According to this, teams that record at least one 10-0 run win the game 71% of the time. That's the kill shot idea.
And Auburn went on one to get back the lead and then grow it. What was it, about 12 minutes left in the first half?
Yeah, this is okay. This is the AI. This is the AI generated answer. A team that goes on a 10-0 run, a kill shot, wins the game 71% of the time. That's nasty stuff from Nate Amendt. They win the game 71% of the time. If you have 2 of those, you go up to an 88% chance to win the game. The reason I bring this up, if you're Auburn right now, you're still up by 7, right? Still up by 7. I don't know how many kill shots Tennessee has in a year, especially in SEC play. That's not their MO. That's not how they've never been that under Rick Barnes. They can go on a run, but you said it in the first hour. It's going to take them 8 minutes to do it. Auburn just can't go ice cold offensively like that.
It's a great rebound, though. Sway's played really good
today.
Sway
has played so good. Yeah.
He's one of three from the floor. He does have two rebounds. He has that block, too, where he got knocked to the floor, stood up, and contested at the rim. I believe that's a foul on Nate Ament as well.
That'd be nice.
But doubling down with what you're saying is Tennessee can't go on a kill shot by themselves offensively, but opposing teams can get into the mindset of helping Tennessee go on a kill shot, and that is bad threes that lead to easy runouts. That is a couple of lapses defensively that you've seen that kind of help. But if Auburn can continue to play good defense, it's not like a Tennessee team that has a Dalton Connect where he can give you 40 on any given night from behind the three-point line.
Yeah, and it's not fair to say, too, with 17-plus minutes, just slow the game down or limit possessions, because that's not possible right now. I think if you get to the under 12 or even under 10 minutes, then you can start to have that conversation. But Auburn hits a bucket, Tennessee just hit a bucket. It's still only a seven-point game.
Even then, I don't know if we will be on air when that conversation needs to be had.
Probably not. We're done in 21 minutes. The drive will be on the air. They'll be able to talk about it. But this game started later than yesterday, and I feel like it's taking longer than yesterday, too. It's a grown man move by Murph. Did he not get fouled? He did. Okay.
It's another one on Ament.
Yep. That's two in the last 60 seconds on Nate Ament, who is not happy about it.
Unfortunately, those were fouls one and two.
Darn. Got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Got to start somewhere.
Oh, man. Tahad, another floater. He's already got 21 on the afternoon.
You needed it, man. You've had to have it from Tahad. He's got 21. Nobody else on Auburn has double digits. There's only two players in the game with double digits, him and Nate Ament. The next closest scorer to Tahad Pettifer with 21 is Ament with 10.
And then Kevin Overton with 7.
Not a high scoring game.
I was going to say, shows the defensive physicality that's in this game. Not too many fouls. And then, again, obviously not shooting the ball great. But the numbers in the second half have obviously gone up tremendously. Auburn now shooting 41%. Tennessee is 43%. So right now is almost the time, if you're Auburn, of withstand this run, if you will, from Tennessee, which isn't even necessarily a run, rather than it's more of just a, okay, get your buckets when they're getting theirs, and then you're perfectly fine going back into the game that was played the first 25 minutes.
Well, you feel like a Tennessee team, especially coached by Rick Barnes, 2-on-1 for Auburn, 3-on-1 for Auburn. Oh, no. Oh.
And now it turns into a 3-on-2 and two free throws for Tennessee.
That can't happen, man.
That's got to be that the one extra happen. Pass from Tahad.
Yeah, he took a 1-on-3, or it was a 3-on-1. The defender picked up the ball handler, as they're supposed to do, and Hod tried to lay it in past him and couldn't get it. Then both Auburn players went up and tried to dunk it. They blocked each other, and Tennessee got a foul on the other end.
It's a 4-point swing in an 8-point game.
That's huge. Well, what I was going to say is, because you were saying it's not a run by Tennessee, it's just Tennessee playing what they play and how they play. They play 40 minutes of basketball.
Yeah.
That's just what they do. I mean, there's very few times. They'll go on scoring droughts, but that's not even considered a drought for Tennessee. That's just how they play.
Yeah.
They're cool to play. They're cool that this game's in the 30s. They don't care.
They're willing to give that up because of what they do defensively.
Correct.
Which is why, if you're Auburn, you have to take that same mentality, and even more so on the offensive end, because your droughts on offense feed right into what they are wanting to do.
And how many times? That's just not a good shot, Keyshawn. It's just not a good shot.
Tween, step back when you're 1-for-8.
In the corner. Wow. Tennessee gave it right back. Tennessee turned it over, gave it right back to Auburn. 39-33, 16:09 to play in the game.
Keyshawn Hall is 1-for-8 from the floor. He is 1-for-5 from deep. Yet that it's just a standstill in the corner, and that's the idea of a high quality. That goes against everything we've talked about in this entire segment.
Literally. He has one assist today.
And it came on like the second possession.
He is better passing the basketball.
At least right now.
That's a travel from Sway. They didn't call it. He got lucky. And got his... Or that's Murph that got the rebound. A little turnaround. That's so tough. That's so tough from Keyshawn Murphy, man.
He's mastered that move. And it's not necessarily the prettiest, but it almost gives you a little bit of a glimpse of that Jalen Williams lefty little push, but instead it's Keyshawn over the left shoulder. But it's
Will was always facing the basket.
Right.
Keyshawn like runs away from the basket and then turns around and just flicks the wrist and it goes in from like 6 feet away. It's really nice. That's a tough bucket by Gillespie, man. Right in the chest of Keyshawn Hall. Somebody's got teed up.
It might have been Gillespie.
Was it Gillespie who just got teed up after making a basket? Or was it the big man?
Or was it Kevin?
It may have been.
KO was standing there with his arms out.
I think it was Caney. I think it was the big guy for Tennessee. Or Carey, sorry. I think it was him. Somebody got teed. Heck of a bucket by Gillespie. And then somebody got teed up.
So they got teed up, and then Keyshawn Hall just walked back to half court, and Carey started walking back to go and meet him.
That's a tough finish, man. Golly. It's a six-point game. But I was saying this, too. How many times in an Auburn-Tennessee game have we said 6 points feels like 12?
Look at this. Stephen Pearl's not even talking with his team. He's walking Keyshawn Hall to the sideline.
Oh, no.
That was who it was between, because Keyshawn went up to try and guard Gillespie, and that was who he scored over.
Carey got the technical foul. Technical foul on Carey.
That might have been, I don't know if that was a verbal thing. He did throw the ball very hard back at the referee,
yeah.
So I don't know if it was kind of a two-for-one, but
so it
as soon
should
as it becomes
Auburn,
a six-point game, that's two free throws in the basketball.
I was about to say, it should be Auburn ball after two free throws, so under 16, 15-19 to play in Nashville, Auburn 41, Tennessee 35. You survived the first 4.5 minutes, right? Auburn didn't fall asleep defensively in the first 4.5 minutes. Auburn didn't give up a big run in the first 4.5 minutes. You got outscored 10-9. You survived. If you're Auburn.
Sounds elementary. As not good as this half has quote unquote felt,
yeah,
like what you're saying, it's still a 6 point game. You've lost 1 point.
Yeah.
Rather than how many times have we seen it in the second half? You've seen it to where, man, Auburn's played so good offensively, yet you look at the scoreboard and it's a holy cow, we've only gained 2 points back.
Yeah. Again, Auburn and Tennessee in the second round of the SEC tournament. Oh, here's a tweet on X from Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer. Stephen Pearl just got into it with Keyshawn Hall after a bad miss. He was yelling at him about the shot on the other end of the floor. And Keyshawn Hall and Keyshawn Murphy are now yelling at each other after Hall appeared to be going back and forth with Tennessee after the technical from Tennessee. So Keyshawn Hall was barking after they got teched. Keyshawn Murphy's trying to tell him, hey, bro, shut up.
Keyshawn Murphy's doing what he's been doing all year, which is being that leader, being that facilitator. So what happened, Carey and Keyshawn Hall have been going after each other, and I think that was the ego shot from Keyshawn Hall that you saw in that far corner trying to respond. Gillespie then went and made that layup over Keyshawn Hall. Carey got the ball and spiked it at Keyshawn Hall. So that was the technical. So it should be two free throws, and I would be imagining that it will be Tahad Pettiford stepping to the line to shoot those free throws, and then it should be Auburn basketball.
Doesn't happen from Tennessee very often. A guy get teed up on a Tennessee squad?
It doesn't. But right now, I mean, you're never going to call, at least we're not going to on air, just a detriment to what you're seeing right now. But for somebody that's 1-for-8 and 1-for-5 from the floor, emotions cannot get the better of Keyshawn Hall right now.
No. And
here's the replay right here. Oh, yeah, he spiked it. Carey spiked it right at Keyshawn Hall's head.
And again, then Keyshawn Hall started barking back. Keyshawn Murphy had to get in his face. They had to be separated going into the huddle.
Good. I love that from Murph. If that's what it takes, that's one of those things where just being a player and understanding it, a coach can say one thing and you'll hear it, but it goes in one ear, out the other.
Sure.
It's another one of your players getting in your face and
one of your brothers, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Looks like it's actually KO at the free throw line.
That's fine.
I can tell by his stance and how he sets up. Have you seen him talking with the entire team about how he does it? He stands well beyond the left side. He puts his right foot
on
the middle of the rim. Keyshawn Hall remains in the game. Carey is not. And so highlight this right here, 15-19. As soon as it becomes a six-point game, a technical foul by Carey makes it an 8-point game. Auburn basketball can make this a 4 or a 5-point possession. And right now, you're back to it. Auburn's now won the first 4.5 minutes, which is exactly what I highlighted.
How big would it be? Or how big would it have been? I mean, Tennessee gave you a gift just now.
Very much.
I mean,
Tennessee gave you a free bucket that they just worked really hard for.
And Auburn was that close to giving it right back because of Keyshawn Hall, but he didn't. And Keyshawn Murphy helped him. Stephen Pearl helped him. They avoided it. We'll take our last break after this possession for Auburn. Hod on the lob.
We've seen it so many
times. How many times have you seen that play from Auburn? You have the lead early in the shot clock, and you throw up a backside lob in hopes to catch them sleeping. This Tennessee team doesn't fall asleep like that defensively. They just don't.
Especially not in the paint.
God, that's so frustrating. It's a turnover. It's a turnover. That's what it is.
Every time.
Every time. 5-on-5, we're trying to throw in the lane lobs. That's ridiculous, man.
But not transition ones. 3-on-1.
Yeah. 43-35, Auburn leads Tennessee. 15 minutes to play. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap up the Thursday edition of On the Line. We'll hand it off to The Drive. All that next.
This is Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, a media timeout. Actually, no, not a media timeout, a review timeout in Nashville. 45-37, Auburn leading Tennessee. Stephen Pearl challenging an out-of-bounds call that he is going to win when they come back. So Auburn will have the basketball up 45-37 with 14 minutes to play over Tennessee in the second round of the SEC tournament. Trying to maybe solidify their spot in the NCAA tournament. This would go a long way, though, Christian.
This would go a very, very long way with... This would have gone a long way even if the bubble had won a lot of its games, because this would almost make that big statement win. I mean, this is a top 25 win. This is a major quad one game for the Auburn Tigers, if that's what you're still choosing to look at, much less the help that Auburn has already gotten, much less a 2-0 stretch over 2 days. Maybe that's what this team needs. Instead of taking days off,
they just
play consecutively
and
continue the runs, which maybe if that's the case, if you can make your way into the tournament, you have basically 2 games in, 2 days essentially with the 1 day off, but it feels like less than that just based off the quick turnaround. So maybe it's what this team needs. They're playing with a lot of fire, and confirmed the challenge was overturned. And so it'll be Auburn basketball up 8 with 14 minutes to play.
Yep, so we are just about out of time, but The Drive will be on the air. They are going to be stepping in, and they'll be doing a lot of what we did today. They'll be talking about the game as it happens, and then once that game is over, they'll talk about it, they'll recap it, and hopefully they're previewing a game for tomorrow for Auburn and Vanderbilt, and hopefully that's what we're doing. I think tomorrow's game, if Auburn gets there,
I believe it's 3:30.
Or 2:30. 2:30, yeah, I was going to say. I think so. It should tip off similarly to what today's game is. So we'll have a chance to kind of preview it going in, then talk about it as it's happening, do some halftime assessment and things like that. And that's pretty perfect for a free-for-all Friday, huh? We'll have, I'm sorry, it will not be we. I will not be here on the show.
Might be
tomorrow.
A little conversation.
Maybe. We also have Jeff Graba of Auburn Gymnastics as well. So have that. We'll see. Most likely, if Auburn holds on and wins this, we'll find a way to make something happen. I have Auburn High baseball tomorrow. That's why. Auburn High hosting 4 teams in 2 days. So
yeah,
baseball tomorrow and Saturday. I've got a game at noon tomorrow, a game at 3 tomorrow, a game at 10 a.m. on Saturday, and a game at 1 on Saturday. So 4 games in 2 days for Auburn High baseball. So I will be here in some capacity tomorrow, but Christian's going to have you settled, have you handled, talking about whatever happens in this game for Auburn. Again, up 45-37 against Tennessee, free-for-all Friday, and then, oh my, I don't, understand that, but okay.
That was end of the shot clock.
Okay, I just looked up and saw him rip it from 40 feet.
End of the shot clock, and should have been a foul.
Yeah.
Blake should have drawn it on the offensive rebound.
Yeah, so that's Free for All Friday, and then Monday we'll react to what the NCAA tournament bracket looks like. Will Auburn be in it or not? You've got 13 minutes to make your case if you're the Auburn Tigers. So stick around. The Drive is coming up. They'll talk to you about what's happening. 45-39 with 13 minutes as we leave it with them. They're coming up in just a couple of minutes. Show is back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.